Seated. I trust you had a wonderful Thanksgiving and looking forward to Christmas celebration and all. We had family in, and I trust you had a good time with family and friends as well. As we think of Christmas, we think of oftentimes of all the glitz and glitter and so on, and we do appreciate how the decor team under Danielle's leadership transform the building with all the decorations, and so we appreciate that. Make sure when you see Danielle that you express your appreciation for those who helped as well. Just many hands make light work. So as Pastor Nate said, if next year you didn't get in on it this year, next year's another wonderful time. And of course, they'll probably need some help at the end of the season to de-decorate, right? So, but anyway, you know, Christmas is a wonderful time, and when the world thinks of Christmas, it thinks of Santa Claus and Rudolph and gift giving and receiving and food. And I don't know about you, but man, it just seems like the shopping is out of control right now. I mean, Black Friday started in July, right? I mean, it was like unbelievable. Black Friday deals in July, and they haven't quit. So every time you turn around, there's a Black Friday sale. But the world gets caught up in that, and I know we enjoy gift giving and celebrating as well. But for the Christian, it's much more significant, right? It's an opportunity to be in awe regarding the incarnation, meaning the fact that God became man and dwelt among us. The Lord Jesus Christ, born into this world. Emmanuel means God with us. We just sang about that, didn't we? And the mention of Christmas brings to mind, should for the believer, the manger, of course, shepherds, the manger, angels, wise men, the Virgin Mary, and all of which, you know, encourages us as believers. And so today, as we ponder these things in our hearts, I want to cause you to recall someone who gets easily lost in the fray of Christmas. We're talking about the characters of Christmas through this holiday season, with Christmas holiday season, with our messages. But I want to cause you to recall someone that gets easily lost in the fray of Christmas. He's an overlooked, oftentimes, ornamentation. And yet I believe we can learn transforming truths from this individual as we observe his life in the role of the incarnation of Christ. So we want to look at some lessons that can be learned, transforming truths from the life of Joseph. And that lesson that I want to emphasize is that of submission. So here's our take-home thought today, and that is cultivate a heart of submission. Cultivate a submissive heart. I'd like to recall to your mind transforming truths that you can imitate as we study Mary's husband, Joseph. Joseph normally receives little to no recognition, right? And yet, think about this. Joseph is the legal father of Jesus. He was the husband of Mary. Turn to Matthew chapter 1. Now, we're going to be looking at Matthew chapter 1 and 2. So you want to put a bookmark or put your finger in there. And we're also going to look at Matthew as well. Matthew 1 and 2. Luke 2, rather. Look at Matthew, and then we'll be looking at Luke and going back and forth as we talk about Joseph. But in Matthew chapter 1 and verse 16, we jump into the legal lineage of Jesus as traced through Joseph. And this shows that Jesus Christ is the rightful heir to the throne of David. The Luke lineage is through Mary. Matthew lineage is through Joseph. But in Matthew chapter 1 and verse 16, it says, it's reading through the lineage, and then it comes to Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom Jesus was born, who is called Christ. So as we think about Joseph, and though Scripture's comments concerning Joseph's role are few and simple, he is an important character in the discussion of Christmas. So we want to look at Joseph's importance, first of all. First, we see here in Matthew chapter 1, look at verses 18 down through 25. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, in other words, they were engaged, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph awoke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. So we're looking at the importance of this character, Joseph. And first of all, we see that he was addressed by an angel. I mean, I haven't had an angel come talk to me, you know. And here Joseph, he's a character that's not spoken of very often, and yet an angel comes and talks to him. Pretty important. But we see in Luke chapter 2, just turn over, as I said, to Luke chapter 2, Joseph went up from Galilee, verse 4, Luke chapter 2, verse 4. Joseph went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David. So he had a part in fulfilling prophecy. It had been prophesied that this would happen, and Joseph was a part of that. That's pretty important. In Matthew chapter 2, go back to Matthew 2, verses 13 through 15, when they had departed, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, Rise, take the child and his mother to flee to Egypt and remain there until I tell you. For Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him. And he rose and took the child and his mother by night, departed to Egypt, and remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet, Out of Egypt I called my son. So here he was, present at the birth of Jesus, and shortly after the baby was born, he had to take the child to Egypt. So he provided protection for the Savior. He was not only a part of fulfilling prophecy, but he provided protection for the Savior. And then in Matthew chapter 1, verse 21, she will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Verse 25, But he knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. He gave the Lord the name Jesus. He named the Lord as he was directed, but he was the legal father, and he was the one who would name the child, and he named him as he was directed, Jesus. We also see in Matthew chapter 13 that he was the carpenter's son. Is not his mother called Mary, and are not his brothers James and Joseph and Simon and Judas? He, Joseph, gave the Lord a home and a vocation. So, as you look at all these things, these are pretty important things that a guy can do. And yet, in all these significant matters, there is no hint of pride. Isn't that something? I mean, he could have said, hey, look at me, you know, I'm a pretty good guy. And I've done some pretty important things about this. Hey, you know, it's not all about her. It's all about me, right? I could have put up a real fuss about this, but there's no hint of pride here. In fact, in Matthew 1:19, it mentions Joseph as being a just man and not willing to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. He could have made a real stink. He could have said, I can't believe this has happened to me. Why me? I mean, come on. You know, I mean, we're engaged to get married. I had wonderful plans. We were going to build a house on the Sea of Galilee. I mean, you know, come on. This is wonderful. But look what has happened. I mean, why me? This is, He could have put up a real stink about this. But rather, he did not want to expose her to public disgrace. He's going to handle the whole situation quietly, not call attention to himself, not call attention to Mary, just not call attention to the situation. So what can we learn? Here's the first transforming truth, and that is grow in humility. To grow in humility. By the way, we spoke about humility in Proverbs a few weeks ago, and we have the books that I, little booklets that I mentioned just for $5 there from Pride to Humility out at the Welcome Center if you'd like to get a copy of that. But Joseph here, he didn't make this whole situation about him. We can learn from that. How do you respond to an embarrassing situation? Did you ever realize that embarrassment is a form of pride? I don't like the way I'm being put on the spot. It makes me feel uncomfortable. Or it might make me look bad, or it might be placed in a different light than what I desire. The focus on embarrassment tends to be self. So how do you handle things when you're not treated the way you think you ought to be treated? Or you don't get help in the kitchen after Thanksgiving dinner or after a Christmas party or Christmas dinner. You know, hey, come on. You know, you're in the kitchen, you're cleaning up. Nobody seems to want to help. How do you respond to that? And this is just a great time of the year to consider these lessons from Joseph. Because we tend to enter the holidays with certain expectations, don't we? We have this courier and eyes picture of what Christmas ought to be like. And we have these plans, and we want the plans to go just right. And we have plans with the in-laws and the outlaws and everybody getting along, you know. And then, you know, it just doesn't seem to work the way we planned. How do you respond when those things happen? And when we get angry, when we get upset, or even when we get embarrassed, think about it. Where's your heart? What are you? Who are you thinking about? We tend to be thinking about ourselves. And so think about that. How do you handle situations when they don't turn out your way? Or you don't get the present that you had hoped for or even asked for? Things just don't go as planned. How do you handle things just in the routine of life when you come home and dinner was not prepared as you had expected it to be? Or you prepared dinner and your spouse doesn't come home when you thought they would get home or should get home and it's cold. How do you respond? Do you pout and fuss and get quiet and everybody's kind of like, oh, what's wrong with mom or what's wrong with dad? I don't know. Just don't say anything, you know. Finally, someone says, you know, hey, what's wrong? Is everything okay? Yes, it's fine. Pout, pout, fuss, fuss, right? And so, again, now, it's not wrong to ask for help, all right? You know, after Thanksgiving dinner, after Christmas dinner, hey, I'll tell you what, if we could all just pitch in a little bit and clear off the table, and if we could have someone start washing the dishes, it's not wrong to ask for help. But if nobody does, how are you going to handle it? Are you going to pout? Are you going to fuss? Are you going to get angry? Just explode? Both forms of anger are wrong, right? You know, to get, you know, fuss and pout. Or to explode, neither one, that's not what God wants. But it's all, if you think about it, it tends to be pride. Humility is giving up your expectations and trusting God to meet your needs. Give up, that's in part, that's what humility is. Give your expectations over to God. Right now, as you launch into Christmas, I'm not saying it's wrong to make plans, okay? And we really want things to go a certain way. That's not wrong. But give your expectations over to God and trust Him for the outcome. And just exemplify the matter of humility. Joseph swallowed his pride and humbly accepted God's way. Humility is not thinking badly about yourself, but it's thinking biblically and truthfully about what God says. And that's what we need to learn from this. All right, well, let's take another look at Joseph. Let's look at Joseph's significance. How important was Joseph? Well, we already alluded to this. Look at Matthew 1, verse 20. As he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, listen to this, son of who? David. So, how significant was he? Well, note his ancestry. I mean, he went to ancestry.com and he said, whoa, you know, look at me, you know. He was of the house and lineage of David. And yet, in all of this, he passed his royal right on to his adopted son, who will be the future ruler on the throne of David in the millennium. In Luke chapter 1, verses 32 and 33, look at Luke 1. He, speaking of Jesus, will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. You know, it's been said there are no spiritual grandchildren, right? You can't say, well, my parents, they were just awesome, or my grandparents, they were really spiritual, and expect that to kind of, by osmosis, filter over into you. No, there are no spiritual grandchildren. You need to trust Christ on your own in order to become a child of God as well. So, you know, he didn't rest on his laurels, and so we can see how significant he was based on his ancestry. But also, look at his spirituality. In Matthew chapter 1, verse 19, it says that he was a just man. The NIV says he was a righteous man. That means that he was righteous in standing and character. This, I think, made him suitable to be the stepfather of the Lord Jesus. Right? I mean, it was appropriate for a righteous man to be the stepfather to Jesus. Are you giving attention to your walk with God? Do you have a relationship with God? And I think about our relationship to God as a relationship. All right, it's not just I check a box and I've asked Jesus to save me, and so I'm not going to hell anymore. No. That's true, but I think it's important to think of, you know what, I'm coming to God in salvation, submitting myself to Him as Lord, and He adopts me into His family. So I'm an adopted child of God. That's humbling to think that God chose us. That's the one thing about adoption that ought to be an encouragement to anyone who in this room or who is listening who has been adopted, to think, wow, my parents chose me. That's pretty awesome. And that's what God did when you think of becoming a child of God. You are adopted into the family of God. It's pretty awesome. But then, as a result of that being adopted in the family, you have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. And so as you think of a relationship, it's that which is built, fostered, grown, developed over time. And so once you're adopted into the family, have this relationship with God, do you foster that? Or are you just going through the motions? Fostering the relationship with God is spending time in His Word and prayer. Become a child of God. Spend time with Him. And look forward to that time with Him. Not just, okay, I got my devotions done, kind of like it's a spiritual rabbit's foot. I read my Bible today, so everything's going to be good. No, you go to the Scriptures thinking about your relationship with God. And that's what Joseph, he was a righteous man. We can learn from that. We also look at his fidelity. He was faithful to his wife, Mary. He could have put her away and shamed her in all of this, but he didn't do that. He was faithful to her. All right, that's something to learn. You know, husbands, wives, are you faithful to one another? Do you have eyes for your spouse only? We talk about the qualification for pastors and elders and deacons. And one of those qualifications is to be a one-woman kind of man. That means you're not looking elsewhere. You're not glancing and like, whoa. You know. No, you're keeping your eyes for your and heart for your wife only. And ladies, in the same way, it's not longing for somebody else or looking at others, but being faithful. That was Joseph. He was a righteous man. So he was faithful to Mary, but he's faithful to God. We see that in Matthew 1, 24 and 25, when Joseph woke from his sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. And he took his wife, but he knew her not until she had given birth to a son. So Joseph, as you look at all of these qualities, his significance, he played a significant role in God's plan, and yet he responded in humility. So Joseph's life preaches, even though we aren't told anything that he said. Did you ever think about that? As you look at the Scriptures, there is nothing in the Scriptures that Joseph ever said. So here's the second transforming truth here, and that is, it grows out of the matter of humility, but it's don't call attention to yourself. Don't call attention to yourself. When you find yourself in a place of importance, don't call attention to yourself unnecessarily. In fact, I was trying to make it a practice to read a proverb a day, and I was reading through Proverbs 25. This past week, Proverbs 25, verse 27, it says, "It is not good to eat much honey." Do you like honey? I like honey. And it tastes pretty good, especially if you're hungry and it's like, ooh, you take a spoonful of honey. But it says, it's not good to eat too much honey. After a while, it's kind of like, you know, like it's a little much, you know. What's that Greek thing called? Baklava? You know, I love that. You know, but you can only eat one little piece about that big, because you get into the second piece, think, man, I want more. It's like, ugh. It's just a little too much, right? It's not good to eat too much honey, nor is it glorious to seek one's own glory. That's kind of what kids do, right? Hey, mommy, look, watch daddy, 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 watch me, watch me. It's all about me. Watch, here I go. I'm going to jump, or I'm going to dive, or I'm going to, whatever it is. That's kind of what kids do. But as we get older, you know, it's kind of like, oh, that guy's got, I mean, he's full of himself, right? It's all about him or her. It just gets to be too much. Don't call attention to yourself. Joseph, that's exactly what Joseph didn't do. He did not call attention to himself. In fact, again, there are no words of Joseph mentioned in the Scriptures. We are told what was said to him and what he did in light of what he was told. So he truly is, as our title of our message says, the silent character of Christmas. And yet we can learn from him. Don't call attention to yourself. All right, we want to look at another matter. Look at Matthew chapter 1, verses 20 and 21. As he considered these things, speaking of Joseph, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. He was basically told, Joseph, marry Mary. All right? Marry Mary. Again, nothing that he said was recorded in the Scripture, but God communicated revelation to him in dreams. Matthew chapter 2, verses 13 to 15. Now when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, "Rise, take the child and his mother, and flee to Egypt. Remain there until I tell you, for Herod is about to search for the child and destroy him." And he rose and took the child and his mother by night and departed to Egypt and remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet, "Out of Egypt I called my son." He got up, did what he was told. Chapter 2, verse 19. But when Herod died, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph again. You know, there it is. But he was down in Egypt, and an angel said, "Rise, take the child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel, for those who sought the child's life are dead." And what did he do? He rose and took the child and his mother and went to the land of Israel. So, marrying Mary had the possibility of public dishonor. He moved to Egypt at a moment's notice, at night. He returns to Palestine. And he went on to Galilee. In each situation, Joseph obeyed right away. Here's the third transforming truth that we can learn from Joseph, and that is, readily obey God's instruction. Read the Bible with a heart to obey. As you go to the Scriptures, you can go, what does God have for me today? As I'm developing my relationship with God, God, I want to hear from you. And part of what I want to hear from you is how I might need to change so that I can put that into practice. Don't be a hearer of the word only, but be a doer of the word. Put it into practice. Don't scrutinize. Don't, you know, I don't know about that. God's will is not out of reach. God has spoken. Simply obey. I often hear, "I know what the Bible says, but." Yep. "I know what the Bible says, but." Now, and you heard me say this before, I'll say it again. There are no yeah buts in the Bible. When you stand before God and you're giving an account to God about this life, and he says, "Well, hey, tell me, how did it go with your marriage?" "Well, I would have been a better husband if only my wife..." Wait a minute. I'm not talking about your wife. "I would have been a better parent if only my kids would have..." No, I'm not talking about your kids. I'm talking about you. There are no yeah buts. No yeah buts. Foster a ready and willing obedience. You know, we teach our kids obedience. We taught our kids to obey right away. I used to say, "Guys, you have it pretty easy. If you would just obey Dad or Mom, just all you have to do is obey. If I asked you to do something, just obey." And we used to say, "Obey and be happy about it." That trying to go after the heart, right? To have a right attitude toward the obedience. And if you do that, it will go well with you. And so that's good to teach our children to obey. But as adults, we need to model obedience to our children as well by how we respond to authority. By how we respond to a police officer that may pull you over. Or to a boss. How do you talk about your boss at home? In the earshot of your kids. Or even to your spouse behind closed doors. How do you respond? Are you exercising a submission to authority? How do you respond to the Lord by what He has asked you to do? You know, our culture has taken what we call adult activities. You know, it's not for kids. This is an adult activity. But we've taken that to mean that it's okay to practice excess. You have adult entertainment. What does that imply? I'm not going to go into any details here. But you have what's called, commonly called, adult entertainment. And what does that imply? Is it really acting like an adult? How much better to imitate Joseph with a heart that is ready to obey God and walk in obedience to the Lord? So here you have Joseph. the silent character of Christmas? Silent in the sense that he didn't say, we don't have anything recorded in the scriptures that he said. But his testimony speaks loudly, doesn't it? It says an awful lot. We can learn from the silent character of Christmas. Joseph's example of humility ought to cause you to look within, to confess before the Lord any pride, and to humble yourself to live life God's way, not your own way. And as we come before the Lord here in communion, what an opportunity for us to evaluate our hearts before the Lord in light of all the activities. These kinds of things around the holidays tend to just bring our hearts to the surface. And how good it is to, in anticipation of what you're expecting for Christmas, to say, you know what? I just think this is a good time to say, you know what? God, I have these plans, but I lay them at your feet and let your will be done. And give me the grace to humbly accept whatever comes my way. Let's ask for God's help to do just that. Heavenly Father, we have our expectations. We have things that we want to happen. We make our plans. And I'm sure Joseph was ready to marry Mary, and they were going to have just a wonderful life together. And yet, because of your plan, things changed. And we have those things happen in our lives. And the holidays, Christmas, even Thanksgiving, is just a time in which it just kind of magnifies those kinds of situations. And so even now, here, as we anticipate what's often called the most wonderful time of the year, Father, we realize that we're in your hands. And I pray that we would all be willing to turn our expectations over to you, even now. And we don't know what's going to happen. We know what we want to happen. We know what we have planned. But it's in your hands. Help us to lay our plans at your feet and just submit to what you have coming our way. Whether it's just the busyness of the season or whether it's just a major event that takes place. Help us, Father, to humbly accept these things as from you. And we ask your help. We ask for your grace to handle these things graciously and in a way that would bring honor and glory to you. With heads bowed and eyes closed, I just encourage you to ponder these things in your own heart, to think, you know, how do I typically respond when things don't go my way? And ask, if you need to change, ask God to help you change in anticipation of that. And to be a testimony, to be a witness to others. I just recently came across a song that says, I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody who can save anybody. Isn't that awesome? That's what we need to think about. How can we be an instrument in God's hands to tell people around us about the Lord Jesus Christ? What a wonderful time of year to do that. And just by your testimony of how you handle a curveball that's thrown at you during this season can be a wonderful testimony to others. So I'd like everyone to fill out a connection card. You can do that from the pew in front of you. You can do that through our website or through YouVersion. And just jot down how God has spoken to you, or maybe some change that you anticipate, or maybe asking for prayer from the body. Or if it's personal and private, check for pastors only. We'll be praying for you. Or if you need some counsel or encouragement, make note of that as well. And you place that in the offering plate as it's going to be passed. And again, the offering is a wonderful time to express your submission to the Lord and your dependence upon Him. So give faithfully to the Lord as an investment to the ministry.